Welcome to the Titan-Sized Podcast. I'm Luke Worsham, joined by the other two hosts of the Titan-Sized Podcast, Matias Wadner and Will Lomas. In this episode, we will be joined by Titans receiver Taywan Taylor. He's going to come on in a little bit, talk about the Titans coaching situation and the search. And I think we are the first media outlet to have an interview with a Titans player since the Mularkey firing, right?
Yeah, I haven't seen any reports out there on the internet of Titans players even mentioning Mularkey's name. So they've been pretty quiet about it. We won't surmise why that is. But Taiwan definitely talked a little bit about it, and it was cool.
Yes, we will be breaking the silence today. So that is coming on a little later in the show. That interview is going to be brought to you by Panini, because Taywan Taylor right now is in California at the NFL PA Bowl. I know that Alvin Kamara is down there. There are a bunch of other players going into their second season down at this game. So he's down there. He's doing some work with Panini. He's going to sign the remainder of his rookie cards that are going to be inserted into the remainder of Panini's packs that go out for the rest of the year. And if you want to try to get your hands on one of those, you can go to store.paniniamerica.net. That's store.paniniamerica.net. So we're very thankful for Panini for giving us the time with Taywan. But before that, let's hop into full speed ahead this coaching search, because the Titans have been making their interviews public, confirming it through their PR teams that they have already interviewed Houston Texans defensive coordinator Matt Vrabel or Mike Vrabel?
Mike Vrabel.
Matt LaFleur.
Super Bowl legend, Mike Vrabel.
Yes. Matt LaFleur, offensive coordinator of the Los Angeles Rams, and Steve Wilks, defensive coordinator of the recent NFC champion Carolina Panthers. So let's talk about those three guys. Let's start with Vrabel. And I don't know why I've said this to you guys. I just don't get a great vibe from him. It has nothing really to do with him. I'm just not a huge fan of these young coaches who were so recently players in the NFL. Like, Mike Mularkey is different. He wasn't ever that good a player. He played so long ago, it didn't really matter.
He's that good a coach.
What just happened?
I don't know. Paper?
It sounded like someone took paper and just crumbled it up in front of their mic.
So Will let off a hot take in the middle of that, by the way.
Yeah.
What did you say?
You said he was never a great Mularkey was never a great player, and I said he was never a great coach either.
But Mularkey was never a great player, so that's different with him and Vrabel. But also, I just don't like the way that the Texans run that organization. I think that their owner doesn't make good decisions. I guess, haven't forgiven them for moving on from Gary Kubiak. I don't like Bill O'Brien. I don't like any of the principles he stands for. I think he is Chuck Pagano with J.J. Watt, and I don't want anyone from his coaching tree.
Yeah, I don't know if it's because he was a Patriot for so long and I hated the Patriots for so long, but just something about him kind of bugs me. I don't know if it's his face or just his demeanor in general. But outside of that, I don't know if he'd be that great of a hire. I know John Robinson is looking for a specific type of person, specific type of leader. But what has Mike Vrabel done from a coaching experience perspective?
How long has he been in Houston? And is that his first job?
He was starting in Houston in 2014. For 3 years, he was the linebackers coach.
And I guess he replaced Romeo Crennel this past.
Yeah, I don't even know who their defensive coordinator was before 2017. But, yeah. I mean, just look at how long he's been coaching. He just started coaching in 2011 with Ohio State. He was the linebackers coach, then the D-line coach for 2 years. So, I don't know. There just seems a lot of unknowns in terms of how effective of a coach he can even be. So, yeah. I would be reluctant to make him the head coach.
It's like when we look at a draft prospect that's only played for a year and we say there's just not that much film on this guy, and it's not really his fault, but it's a negative when you look at the draft report. It's kind of the same thing with Vrabel. There's just not that much on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you can say the same, like, about McVay, but McVay at least had some merits to his credit with Kirk Cousins and the Washington offense. I don't think you could say that about Vrabel at all.
Yeah, okay. Real quick, we're kind of pretty negative on him. I actually don't mind Vrabel. And I'll tell you why. I think he could build a good staff under him, which I think is something that Robinson's really looking hard at. Plus, I think he kind of understands the Patriot way. And, you know, we all talk about the connection to McDaniels and, you know, this, that, and the other. But every time somebody's interviewed about Vrabel, they say that he and John Robinson would gel, that their personalities would get along real well. You know, if I'm looking at Vrabel and I'm looking at guys he's connected to, Sean Ryan is the Texans quarterback coach now. He was the wide receiver coach when Odell Beckham came in the league and he was with the Giants. Then last year he was the Texans wide receiver coach when, you know, they found out how to get stuff out of, who was it? Not Ellington. Who was that wide receiver they brought? Up off the Texans.
Braxton Will Fuller?
No. It doesn't matter. The point is that, you know, if he's been a wide receiver coach in the past and he's a quarterback coach now and helped develop what they did with Watson last year, if you could bring him over as an offensive coordinator, which nobody wants because everybody wants one of the big names at offensive coordinator, but if you could bring a guy over who somehow made Deshaun Watson work and who got Nuke Hopkins and Will Fuller and coached them up to the way they're supposed to be, you know, I'm okay with that. You know, that's who I think Corey Davis and Taywan Taylor can be. I think Corey Davis can be a little bit faster than Nuke. But, you know, I want the next offensive coordinator, and you'll find this out the more we talk about this process. I want somebody with wide receiver coaching experience who's not 75 years old. I want somebody who I can trust to develop. You know, the Titans spent a first-round pick and a third-round pick in wide receiver last year, and they've got Rishard Matthews and Tajay Sharp on the team. They've got assets if they'll just invest time and resources into developing them. But if you go buy the finest groceries and let me cook them, it'll turn into garbage. You know, they need somebody who knows what they're doing.
But, I don't know. I just don't like the Texans franchise, and it has nothing to do with the fact that I'm admittedly a Titans homer.
Sure.
I just don't like the way they run their franchise. They make weird, bad decisions.
Dan Schneider was one of the worst general managers for
they
forever.
They had to fire their general manager because he couldn't get along with the head coach. Am I supposed to believe that it was all his fault?
I mean, didn't the Redskins have to fire their general manager for off the field issues?
Yeah, look where the Redskins are right now.
Yeah, but just a year ago, they had the hottest coaching prospect in the NFL. So you can't judge a position coach or a coordinator by, you know, what's around him necessarily. You know, I don't know. I know we're pretty negative on him, and I'll be the first person to say that I think that defense was a little overrated when Watt was there. But, you know, I think he puts Clowney in a good position because I don't think Clowney's very good. I think he's done a great job with Merciless developing him. I mean, I don't know. It all goes down to kind of what you think about their defense, and I don't know. It's a weird stance for me to be defending the Texans, so it kind of hurts for me to say. I can't really put all my effort into it. I like Vrabel as a person, and I like his background. So, you know, I don't know.
It's kind of I think a lot of it comes down to what exactly you want from a head coach in terms of who you prefer. Do you want a guy who's had success on a specific side of the ball and maybe isn't a leader of men, per se? Or do you want someone who's a good character guy and can change a culture or continue a culture and hasn't really had the experience or the success on either side of the ball? So it's kind of weird.
Personally, I think this idea that your head coach needs to be a leader is completely bogus, right? It kind of worked with Mike Mularkey. Like, he came in, he changed the culture. But in reality, whoever this next coach is, he's going to come into Brian Arakpo and Delanie Walker and Jarrell Casey and Marcus Mariota, all of these veteran guys that are voices in the locker room, Taylor Lewan, someone I forgot to mention. he's going to come into that. The culture is already there. You don't need someone to come in and be rah-rah and rally these guys because they don't need to be rallied. They know that they can win a Super Bowl this year if they're coached the right way. And I think, honestly, they see Mike Mularkey get fired. If they see a schematically incompetent head coach come in but be like a really good leader, they're going to think John Robinson has no idea what he's doing because Mike Mularkey arguably was schematically incompetent, but this rah-rah culture guy that everyone loved. And so, frankly, I think the players probably want a LaFleur or a McDaniels, or even on the defensive side, someone like a Steve Wilks, who's just had so much success historically with their units, as opposed to some guy that, yeah, has only done it for a couple years, but he's a good leader. Like, I just think that's kind of bogus. The culture is already there. You're not needing someone to build a culture. You're needing someone to build an offense.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. And speaking of Steve Wilks, going to segue here.
Yes.
I wrote an article about him today. And outlined a little bit why I think, as of right now, because the Titans have really only interviewed three candidates and have really only been linked specifically to three candidates from their own perspective, at least. I think Wilks might be the best candidate out now. He is the same type of guy that Mike Vrabel portends to be, or people imagine him to be. He's an iron fist type of leader. He demands a lot out of his players and is a pretty hard-nosed kind of guy, which is exactly what John Robinson seems to be looking for. And on top of that, he has a ton of experience and a lot of success coaching on the defensive side of the ball. A lot of people don't want a defensive-minded coach, but I don't see why not. A lot of the best head coaches in the league came from defensive backgrounds. And Wilks has coached everywhere. He's coached defensive backs for like 16 seasons, has defensive coordinating experience, has assistant head coach experience, even has some head coaching experience back in 1999 with Savannah State. And on top of all of that, something I outlined in my article today, the offensive coordinator that Wilks wants to bring in to run his offense is Philadelphia Eagles quarterbacks coach John DeFilippo, who a lot of people want to actually just be the head coach because he's a really smart guy, really detail-oriented, really knows what he's talking about, and seems like he could really tailor a scheme for Marcus Mariota or for any quarterback, really. So right now, I think Wilks and would be the best hire, especially if you could bring in DeFilippo.
Okay, so I don't disagree with you because I think he's done a really good job with that defense. Well, okay, hold on. I think he's done a really good job with that defense. I love the 4-3 he runs. I like how he kind of, he's gotten a lot out of KK Short and Lotulelei and all that. I like that. My problem is these are the investments that they put in defense that have allowed him to be so good. Julius Peppers, free agent signing, but he's Julius Peppers. We all know that. Lotulelei, first round pick. Kawan Short, second round pick. Vernon Butler, first round pick. Shaq Thompson, first round pick.
Who's Vernon Butler? First pick.
He's the defensive tackle from
Louisiana Tech, I think.
Yeah, Louisiana Tech. James Bradbury, second round pick. Thomas Davis, first round pick. There's just a ton invested in that front seven and, kind of on the outside. It's hard for me to stand on a table, and say this is the guy when John Robinson talks about getting the most out of your talent when that group isn't considered a top five unit after they've invested, millions and millions in free agency and then about six or seven first round picks, first and second round picks. It's just, and it's not that they're underperforming. I don't want to say that, but it's not, they're not the Seahawks, which is what you'd expect when, I told you that those are the, rounds they spent on those guys. So that's the only part that kind of concerns me. The DeFilippo part's very intriguing and I do like that, but I wonder if you can't get that from a Jim Schwartz if he came over and then, I think he's doing a little bit more with a little less.
We've talked about our ideal scenario being Jim Schwartz comes over with DeFilippo as the offensive coordinator. But if you bring DeFilippo over as an offensive coordinator, he's gone in a year or two to a head coaching job if Mariota has any sort of success under him. And then you're kind of screwed and you become the Atlanta Falcons with Alabama's offensive coordinator for one game as your offensive coordinator. That's why my preference is bring in the offense coach. Not because I'm like, well, this franchise is going to die if no one develops Mariota. Mariota's developed. He's in his fourth year. He just needs an offense that's not so cluttered. But if you want to bring in this offensive genius, it's my opinion that you have to do it as a head coach because you're going to lose him if you don't.
Are we sure he's just going to be gone after one season? I mean, he's a quarterback's coach right
now.
Shanahan
was in Atlanta for two seasons. How long was McVay's too young to test that principle.
We can say LaFleur is a good kind of example for that.
I would say DeFilippo, if we can get him for 2 years and hire a good QB coach or wide receivers coach that can take over as offensive coordinator in a couple years, then that's perfectly fine with me.
But before we go a little bit more in depth about LaFleur, I want to hit this kind of idea of age with a head coach, because we saw Sean McVay come in at 31 and have success, and the Titans were kind of on the other end of that spectrum. They had, I've heard someone call them the geriatric coaching staff with Dick LeBeau and Terry Robiskie and Malarkey, all older guys. That's not me saying that. That's someone else. That's just a quote I heard. But I think when it comes to this head coach age, you want someone that's young and innovative and is going to gel well with the players. But at the same time, you don't want to be a buddy. Like, when you see these kids running around in Walmart screaming and throwing stuff off the shelves, it's because their parent is too much of a buddy and doesn't know how to say shut up and get back in the shopping cart. But at the same time, you don't want this leader guy that doesn't know what he's doing and just yells for no reason. So I think the difference between a McVay and the McDaniels, both hired as 31, 32-year-old head coaches, is you don't necessarily need an aged person, but you don't want a child. And Josh McDaniels was a child. I don't want the Titans to bring someone in here that's going to be getting in fights with John Robinson, and players are going to be in the media talking about him. And, you know, I don't want that. I want young and innovative. I don't want young and childlike.
I don't think any of the coaches that we've been linked to would be that.
I don't either, but I'm just saying, if that's your argument that, well, he's too young, I don't think age necessarily matters so much as maturity.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you. And if we want to talk about McDaniels, who, I mean, they said he's expected to go to the Colts, but we're really not sure yet. It's definitely still, the jury's still out. And if we want to talk about him in his first stint, he was really young when he became a head coach for the Broncos. He was 32, 33 years old. And you can talk about McVay all you want, but McVay is an outlier. This doesn't happen often where a 31-year-old just comes in and is fantastic. And let's not just completely shower praise on him. He had a great first season. We have no idea what's going to happen next season or the season after that. So I think a lot of teams are going to fall into this McVay kind of trap, where they think they need a really young head coach who's going to completely be some innovative genius. It just doesn't happen that often, and we see it a lot in the NFL. We've seen it over the years. So I think the Titans have to be wary of that. I think they are, because I trust in John Robinson's process.
Robinson's always put a huge emphasis on character. I mean, one of the things he loves is he loves seniors. He loves guys who've started a lot of games without getting in trouble. You know, John Robinson isn't going to let somebody come in after he spent...
Robbie Anderson or Randy Gregory or someone like that.
Like they're going to spend... I mean, he spent the good part of his first 2 years establishing that these weren't the old Titans, that this was a Titans team that played disciplined football, that had disciplined players, had, you know, good character. I mean, it's just... It's not that, you know, I think maybe Jarrell Casey was the one who talked about it and who said they used to, under different coaching staffs, you know, defense didn't talk to offense, and they didn't hang out after, and all this stuff. And now, and you can say it's malarkey, but I like to think that it's not the head coach that does that. It's the general manager that brings the personalities together that gets that kind of chemistry. But, you know, you can look at the offensive linemen and Mariota all going to the Predators games in the postseason. I mean, you can look at there's guys like Logan Ryan and, you know, who talks about having guys over to eat that, you know, play his position. It, you know, it's a team that seems much more like a high school or college team and their connection instead of, you know, kind of cold distance that you get from some NFL teams. So I don't think that anybody he hires, no matter if they're 12, I mean, we shouldn't assume that they're mature. That's just not what Robinson would do.
I think, number one, you need that to be successful, the camaraderie that the Titans have. Because if you look at the really good teams, they're not the teams where the game ends and everybody goes home. They're the teams that they bond well, they have fun. They're running around together, right? The Broncos that won a couple years ago. I remember Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware were best friends, and Sanders and Demaryius Thomas were best friends. And that team just gelled really well together, and Peyton Manning was kind of the glue that held everyone together. And I think the Titans are very similar to that. But my final thing on LaFleur, we saw what happened to Jared Goff this year. He looked like he didn't know what he was doing last year. Like, he shouldn't even be on the football field. And this year, he had a Pro Bowl season. Before he got to Atlanta, after Malarkey had left Atlanta, Matt Ryan had reverted to being very, very average. And then when Kyle Shanahan got there, he became this elite specimen at the quarterback position that put up insane numbers. Now, granted, he had great pieces around him. But what I'm saying is that if you want the quarterback guru, I don't know that it necessarily is Josh McDaniels. It might be Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, LaFleur's track record with quarterbacks is kind of second to none. I'm not sure I've ever seen something quite like it. He's had a lot of success coaching these quarterbacks and getting the best out of them in certain seasons. But I just don't know if you make that guy your head coach. I know Mariota is the priority, but being a head coach sometimes is more than just being a guy who can come in and be a really good offensive play caller or being a really good defensive-minded coach. I think it has a lot to do with character. John Robinson has said it before. I don't want to harp too much on character and what type of person he is, but LaFleur in the snippets I've seen of him speaking to the press and whatnot, he just comes off as kind of timid and pretty low key, which at times is fine, but I just don't know if a lot of these veterans would follow in that type of leadership.
I think something that might be important too to setting a precedent of, yes, we have this offensive guru as head coach, but at the same time, we're not just going to abandon the defense. If you keep Dick LeBeau, or maybe even if you go out and get another defensive coordinator that's a retread, and you make this in the draft, like if you look at what the 49ers did last year, they hired Kyle Shanahan, the big offensive guru, and went double defense in the first round with Solomon Thomas and Reuben Foster.
Yeah.
The Rams didn't have a first round draft pick, and they did go double offense to start the draft. But I don't know. That's just a theory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm guessing some people think that the Titans might go like some sort of Los Angeles Rams route by taking LaFleur, who's from the Rams, and then just keeping Dick LeBeau, who, like Wade Phillips with the Rams right now, is a legendary defensive coordinator. So yeah, that could be something that John Robinson's kind of looking at.
Right now, that would be my preferred move for the Titans, to be completely honest. Unless you're hiring DeFilippo as the offensive coordinator, or excuse me, as the head coach. Which, by the way, Titans fans, hate to say it, but this weekend, you're Jags fans and you are Eagles fans. Excuse me, Vikings fans. Because if there's a Jags-Vikings Super Bowl, these head coaching interviews are going to get a lot more interesting very quickly.
Yeah, it is going to be an interesting next week, especially if the Eagles lose. Because I don't know how
they're going to lose.
DeFilippo doesn't doesn't get a, yeah, I think they're going to lose too. But definitely Bo's definitely going to get an interview, I'm assuming.
And probably McDaniels too. That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, for sure. He's not the Colts coach yet, as much as the Colts want him to be.
Yeah, they can't prevent him. I will say one thing. If, you know, Luke, you want to keep Dick LeBeau around, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so who do you hire as your offensive coach? DeFilippo?
LaFleur.
LaFleur. Okay, so you're picking LaFleur over DeFilippo.
I don't know. Mine would be McDaniels 1, LaFleur 2, DeFilippo 3.
I don't know. That's just – I don't know. This is a whole debate we can have this offseason on what LeBeau did right and what LeBeau did wrong and why the Titans were smart to get rid of him in 4 days when they're going to fire him. But
he's not getting fired.
Dude, he's
as much as you want.
LeBeau is it's crazy to me that y'all think LeBeau's coming back. Like, the only coach on the staff who has a chance of coming back is Russ Grimm, and that's it. The rest of them are
Grimm will be back. I mean, Steve Watterson will be back.
Not our wide receivers coach. He's got to go. Whoever our wide receivers coach.
Frisman was a Terry Robiskie guy.
Yeah.
They were like best friends that coached him at Cleveland.
Bye. Taewon's going to kill it next year. So it's gorgeous.
Right. Yep. And real quick, before we get Taewon on the show, let's pick the championship weekend games, starting in the AFC with Jacksonville and New England. You know, I'm tired of watching the Patriots. And, you know, though I'm supposed to hate the Jags, I would like the Jags to win just because I think they're a fun team to watch, even though we have to hate them as Titans fans. But it's hard to pick against New England, especially after watching them close up last week.
Yeah, Patriots are going to win. I hate the Jags. I know Tom Brady's got a little bit of a hand injury now. That does kind of scare me a little bit, so it might be a closer game than I initially thought it would be. But I think the Patriots are going to win. They're too good.
Yeah, I mean, the Patriots are going to win. The weird thing is the Jaguars kind of spent the week talking about how they're not going to put Jalen Ramsey on Gronkowski, which is stupid.
That makes a lot of sense. That would make a lot of sense if they had put him on Gronk.
Yeah, put your physical, bigger corner who's played safety before and who kind of understands the position. Play him straight up with him and make him beat A.J. Bouye on, you know, the second best guy, and then just take your lungs other places. But
I like that.
They said they would do that, so... You know, congratulations to the New England Patriots.
Brandon Cooks is going to burn Ramsey, man. It's happening.
Dude,
as big as Ramsey is and as athletic as he is, he's not a physical player. Like, I've seen him make business decisions against the Titans. I've seen him get pushed down by Derrick Henry. I've seen him take cheap shots at Delanie Walker. He's not a very physical. As good as he is, he's not a very physical player.
He doesn't love contact.
Yeah.
No.
NFC Championship, Minnesota at Philadelphia. Look, I was a big Nick Foles fan in 2013 when he shocked the world and had one of the best quarterback seasons I've ever witnessed. But he's not good anymore. And aside from their immense wealth of pass rushers on defense, I think the Eagles are an overrated team without Carson Wentz to mold everything together. And I like the Vikings defense a lot, so I'm going to go Minnesota.
Yeah, so the Eagles got incredibly lucky against the Falcons because Steve Sarkisian is just the worst play caller ever, and they should have scored on first and goal. So the Eagles should have lost that game. Also, the Vikings are really good. I know they won luckily, I guess if you want to say it. No, it was pretty luckily. But I thought the Vikings and the Saints were probably – they might have been the two best teams in the entire NFL.
Yeah.
So I thought whichever team of those won that game was going to make it to the Super Bowl regardless, so – I'm picking Vikings.
Yeah, it's weird because I never thought in the NFC Championship I would pick Case Keenum to be the best quarterback. But, I mean, he is, man.
He's
slick. I mean, Case Keenum's fun to watch. You know, everybody talks about the Jaguars being the fun team, and maybe they are. To me, the Vikings and the Eagles are the two fun teams left in the playoffs, and luckily we get one of them in the Super Bowl. I'm going to go with the Vikings because – I like them a little more. Mm-hmm. I like their top end on the defensive, on, you know, I like Everson Griffin a lot. I like their linebackers, but it's tough. I mean, it's like I'm watching the same team play, and maybe the difference to me is that I think Thielen and Diggs are better than Aguilar and Alshon Jeffrey. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and that's nothing against the Eagles, because, you know, I say that, and as I say that, I remember how good Aguilar is playing this year and how Alshon's playing real well. So it's tough. I mean, the Eagles are playing without their left tackle. The Vikings offensive line isn't that great anyway. I mean, it could easily be a 17-16 game. And if it is, you know, it all comes down to a two-point conversion, I would be ecstatic. It seems like that kind of game, and I'm excited to watch it. But I'm going to go ahead and pick the Eagles here, just because I like Jim Schwartz more.
Ooh.
I know. Okay. It's hard. I talk myself into it, but I like Jim Schwartz. I want him to be the head coach. You know, with that in mind, I've got to pack my horse.
All right. And now the moment you've all been waiting for, we are now going to welcome Titans' now second-year receiver Taywan Taylor into the show. Hey, Taywan, how are you doing, man?
What's up, Luke? How's it going, my man?
Going really good. I'm sure it is a lot warmer down in California than it is down here back in Nashville.
Man, it's a lot warmer. I hate to say it, but I think I want to stay here for a little bit longer.
So let's get right down to business and address kind of the elephant in the room. Earlier in the week, the Titans and Coach Mike Mularkey mutually agreed to part ways. So I kind of want to ask you what your sort of first reaction was when you heard about the news. And I know that the locker room in Nashville really likes Coach Mularkey. So how do you move forward as a team and as a locker room despite that?
Yeah. What I was saying, like it threw me off a little bit with me being a rookie, this being my first year. It was like just having a sudden coaching change like that. It shocked me a little bit. But yeah, I was saying though, I feel like all the guys and all our team, we was definitely behind Coach Mularkey 100%. That was our coach, and we was all behind him, and we gave him all our support. But like I said, I feel like we're gonna stay focused as a team, man. I feel like we're all excited about, you know, what John Robinson's doing, and he's leading this new coaching search. So we feel good about who he's gonna pick for our next head coach, because we know that John, he has the same things in mind as we do, as the players do, and that's getting back to where we ended this year and getting farther. So we definitely. Excited to see who it's going to be, and like I said, no matter whether it's offensive minded or defensive minded coach, whatever people say, we all feel he's going to be the right pick regardless. So we're excited, and we can't wait to get to work.
So Taywan, this is Matias. I wanted to ask you a little bit about your first season in the NFL. Coming out of Western Kentucky, you had two really productive final two seasons, caught 34 touchdowns over that span. You got a bunch of looks, a bunch of targets, and you were one of the best players in college. Was it tough adjusting to the NFL, coming in and only getting limited opportunities after getting so many in college?
When you come from, you know, when you come from that position and then you're in a new situation, it's definitely a challenge being able to adjust and get used to it. But I think it was the biggest thing for me, just, you know, staying focused and controlling what I can't control. And, you know, just being humble about everything and just continue to just keep working, keep improving. Because I know, like you said, the amount of snaps and stuff with my snap, with me just not being on the field as much, that was just something that was out of my control. But I stayed locked in the whole time and just kept motivating my teammates while I wasn't out there. But when my number was called, I tried to do the best job of making my plays and my number was called. So I just tried to do a good job of that all year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Taywan, this is Will Lomas. So, you know, we've seen you run jet sweeps. We've seen you run quick passes. We've seen you run nine routes. We've seen, you know, we saw what you could do in the Indianapolis game with, you know, your route running. If you were an offensive coordinator trying to design a game plan with you in mind, what would you like to see?
I would definitely like to see me utilize the strengths that I feel are my strengths, which is, like you said, you know, being playing a multitude of things, you know, just trying to be diverse and, like you said, being good, you trying to attack the defenses with just sweep storm off there, and then getting to the passing game, running those vertical routes, some in cuts, you know, some quick hitters, like you said, some quick drive routes, crossing routes, out routes, and stuff like that. So I would definitely say trying to utilize those strengths the best of my ability if I was an offensive coordinator, you know, prepping me in the game plan and things like that.
Sure.
Taiwan, after the draft, we had your college head coach, Jeff Brohm, on the podcast, and he talked a lot about how you're a very high-character guy. You take your attitude toward the game seriously, and even as a freshman at Western Kentucky when you weren't getting many opportunities similar to your rookie year in the NFL, you were, as you said, constantly encouraging teammates, you know, respecting the coaching staff. After experiencing a rookie season that I'm sure you weren't entirely happy with, how do you use that attitude to head into the next season driven to get more opportunities, and why is it so important for you to be a high-character guy like that?
Oh yeah, that's definitely important. I feel the high character having class about everything goes a long way, and that's how I've always been. So I just want to continue to do a good job of that. And as far as you know, my playing time goes, like I said, I just want to come in this offseason, attack this offseason the best of my ability, because I know what I need to improve on this offseason and get better at. So I want to make sure I do those things, and then come OTAs and come time. Training camp, I should be ready to go by my preparation this offseason. And like I said, just staying locked in and controlling what I can control, making my plays when my number's called. So I definitely look forward to getting better this offseason and expecting my role to increase this coming up year.
So with the Titans having a vacancy at the head coaching position now, they've already interviewed three candidates. Two of them are defensive-minded coaches, and one of them's kind of a quarterback coach and more offensive. Personally, does it matter to you whether the incoming head coach is an offensive guy or a defensive guy? Does it inspire more confidence in you if it is an offensive guy who's come from backgrounds such as wide receiver coaching and stuff like that?
In my opinion, I think whoever we get is going to be great for the job. I think whoever we get is going to be determined to come in and help this team build off our success this past year. We all know about the game and stuff, and our last playoff game came up short, but we all learned from that, all the players, and I think all of us, we know what we need to work on as a whole team. And like I said, we're going to come in and try to do that. And I think all the guys, I believe that we all excited about who we're going to get. Whether it's a defensive-minded coach, offensive-minded, we feel like whoever it is, it's going to be a great pick, because we know our general manager, John, is going to do a great job in finding that guy that's right for all of us. So we just looking forward to it, and we're ready to find out who this is going to be.
You weren't with the Titans last year, obviously, because, you know, you were in college, but they had some of the defensive backs that were not great. You know, this year it looks a lot better. Mm-hmm. Logan Ryan, Adoree Jackson, Kevin Byard. If you had to pick one of those guys to go up with in practice that you think you could routinely beat, which one would you choose?
Routinely? Dang. I don't think you can routinely beat any of them.
Oh, come on.
But if I'm in a room with them three, yeah, I'm picking myself all day. They know that. You can tell them I said that.
Hey, well, but, I've seen you run routes. I know you can run routes. Don't tell me that.
I already know, my man. But yeah, those guys, all those guys, they compete. I love competing with them in practice. But I definitely love going against Adoree. He's a lead out there. He's fast. He's a playmaker. He's an athlete. So. He challenges all the receivers every time we go up against him, because like I said, he's smart, he's patient with his technique, and like I said, he's an athlete. He can run with anybody. So Adoree, it's definitely fun going up against him. KB and Logan as well too.
Got you.
I want to ask you a question that I've asked to Delanie Walker before, just because I want to see what your answer is. a lot during Coach Mularkey's tenure with your team. We heard a lot of criticism about depth on routes and receivers running route precision. So I want to hear from you, someone that does that stuff, when he is saying that the receiver's depth isn't right and their route running isn't precise enough, what in football technical terms, get as deep as you want, what exactly is he saying?
Yeah, well, he's mainly saying, as far as the depth, he's mainly saying how deep the routes should be. You know, we have certain routes that we got to get to 8 yards. We have certain routes that we got to get to 12 yards, 14 yards, 16 yards. So that's what he means by the depth. So sometimes, you know, because sometimes in the game, the things don't always play out how they may look on the paper, and y'all know that. So like for example, if we're in a game and you know Marcus is getting pressure, we may run a curl route which is designated to be at 12 yards, but you know with him getting the pressure, we might run it at 8 to speed up. You know, run it to 8 yards, and you know, but and then that'll be like one of the little things that Coach Mularkey he coaches us up on is still try to get your depth. Even though, you know, we get in the blitz still. So he's big on us with that. And then just the route precision, like you said, just running the right routes, curl route, having a good technique at the top. Don't raise up, stay low out of your breaks so you can get in and out your routes fast. But yeah, he's big on all that. Just cause coach, he was big on all that just cause he wanted us to be the best receivers we could be. So, yeah, I credit him for that, for pushing us, definitely pushing me my first year. And like I said, helping me become better and get better as a receiver and a football player.
Taewon, we thank you so much for your time. We're already looking forward to August when we get to see you back at St. Thomas Sports Park. Good luck going into your sophomore season and enjoy the rest of your time in California.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Taewon.
Thanks, Taewon. You can follow Taewon on Twitter at SilentGrind2. Again, we are very thankful to Panini for making this interview happen. If you want a chance at getting one of these cards that Taewon Taylor is signing this week, or not just Taewon Taylor, again, Alvin Kamara is down there signing these things too, along with several other rookies, go to store.paniniamerica.net. That's going to wrap us up. We will be back after the Titans hire a coach, unless we get reached out to for another interview opportunity before then. But we'll be back after the Titans wrap up their coaching search to talk about that and preview the offseason. Until then, for Matias Wander, Will Lomas, I'm Luke Worsham. Thank you for listening to the Titans Guys podcast. We will see everyone in a few weeks.